And if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 55. Psalms 55. A couple of years ago, I had a problem with my heart. My mom died of a heart attack at the age of 56, and I'm 54. But one Sunday night, it was on our 21st anniversary. We just celebrated our 23rd anniversary, so it was 2 years ago. And got home on Sunday night, and we had a big day, and dinner on the grounds, and all of that. And I was really wiped out, just tired, and went to bed. And I woke up in the night, and I was hurting in my back. You know, I just felt like I'd tweaked my back. And so I'm like, you know, kind of trying to get comfortable. And we live in an A-frame house, looked like a big teepee. I was up on the second floor, and my wife had actually fallen asleep in her recliner downstairs, and she has a lot of health issues. And so I went down there and shook her, and she was out of it. I mean, she was crashed and burned, and she just wiped out too. And so anyway, I kept hurting in my back, and I thought, man, this is not right. Then my hands got all clammy, and I was thinking, man, this might be my heart. Because I knew that had never happened to me before, and I just knew it kind of, you know, and felt kind of weird-like. And so I got me a baby aspirin and put one under my tongue, and I ate one, you know, those little 89 or whatever they are, and ate one, put one under my tongue. And anyway, I kind of made it through the night, just kind of restless-like, and the pain kind of went away, subsided. The next afternoon, our kids in the Christian school were going to be playing another Christian school in town and a home game, and normally I would go to the games and be there, but I got to feeling bad again. And so my daughter said, well, we might ought to call the doctor, you know, just see what he thinks. And so we called the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, that might be your heart. And so I went to the doctor, to the hospital, and, I got there. My blood pressure was high because I was just in pain and it was hurting. So they began to run tests, and the tests were, you know, all the EKGs and all that stuff. It wasn't showing anything. And so I was scheduled to go to Brother Tom Davis's in Alvarado, Texas, and start a missions conference. And this was like Monday, and so my wife tells this girl that we know, Michelle. She went to our church for about 6 years, and she's the cardiologist, lady that goes around with the cardiologist nurse. And so anyway, my wife told Michelle, if y'all don't do something, he's going to go to Texas, you know, and he's going to go preach. It's just kind of what I do. I love going and being a blessing to churches. And so anyway, they decided that they were going to put me on a stress test the next morning. And so they got me on the treadmill. They didn't do the nuclear one. They put me on the treadmill, you know, and I'm going, you know, and they ran some tests or did some stuff before I got on there and took all my, and then they put me on there and got me all souped up and then laid me back down and did, you know, test again. And the doctor said, no, you're not going anywhere. You flunked the test. So I'm thinking, okay. And so we called Brother Davis, and I think Brother Ogden went and preached for Brother Davis. Well, anyway, long story short, they did a heart cath the next morning, and I had some blockage, quite a bit of blockage, and so they were able to get all that unplugged. They put two stents in and got me going. I went back down to the CVICU, the cardiovascular ICU, and I'm laying there, and my dad's coming in, and my son, my wife, you know, I'm seeing different people like two at a time, and my wife was in there, and all of a sudden I just started kind of feeling like I was just fading or something, like something wasn't right. And I was like, you know, I didn't know how I was supposed to be feeling. And so I said, something's not right. And of course they had a nurse right there, you know, I had married the nurse that was my heart nurse. She was right there, and her name's Jennifer Biddle. And I had married Jennifer, and anyway, her and her husband. I just want to clarify that. But anyway, and so I just said, Jennifer, something's not right. I'm not feeling right, you know. And so the next thing I know, my counts are dropping, and I kind of got real. I lost my color and just kind of passed out. And, of course, they asked my wife to leave the room. And, you know, my wife's not quite as tender-hearted as I am, but she kind of lost it. You know, there's a lot of people out in the waiting room from my church and my family and all that. And they kind of had to bring the crash cart in. They kind of had to turn me up on my head. And they didn't shock my heart, but they kind of tinged it. They call it tinging it, just kind of remind my heart to breathe, you know. And so then they had to take me back down and put another stent in. So I'm all stented up, and I got one more since then. So I got four stents in tonight. But you know, just looking at me outwardly, you know, I didn't think I had a problem, really. You know, I mean, I'm active and, and all that. But, you know, I had a problem on the inside. I had a problem in my heart. I had some blockage. And, you know, that's physically speaking. You know, and I'm glad the Lord raised me up. I had a physical the other day, and I'm doing good. I need to lose a little weight. I'm on that diet right now, 1,000 calories a day, but it's the 5,000 at night that get me, okay? So y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. You pray for me. But anyway, you know, I'm glad to be able to get up and go, and the Lord's, you know, blessed me and touched me and all that. But I'm just saying this, you know, we come to revival time a lot of times in our minds as we're processing things, we just think we're okay. Oh, I'm okay. And a lot of times we're not. We're not okay. On the inside, we're not okay. We got blockage. We got issues. We got baggage. And the Lord says, search me, O God. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay? And sometimes I think we just need to stop and say, okay, Lord, is there anything? You know, the old song says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And, you know, I just want to get everything out of the way so that God can do His will in my life. Are y'all with me? And to me, that's what revival time is all about. It's about just letting God, you know, the washing of the water of the Word of God and just allowing God to cleanse our minds and our hearts. And I love Psalm 62:5. It's a great verse in the Bible. You might want to mark that one. If you have your Bibles there, go ahead and turn to Psalm 62:5. Well, this is a good one to kind of reflect back on. Psalm 62:5 says this, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, listen to me now, sometimes we can put our expectation in people. Okay? I've done that before and I've gotten disappointed because people changed or they let me down or they didn't do the things the way I thought they should do them. You know, circumstances. Sometimes circumstances change. We think things are going to shake out a certain way and they don't go that way and we get overwhelmed. Are y'all listening to me? And from time to time, I think revival time especially is a good time just to push the reset button and say, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from thee. And I'll tell you, broken expectations and misplaced expectations, I'm telling you, man, they'll mess with you. They really will. And we've all probably been hurt and disappointed because of people. And again, we need to be reminded that we're not supposed to put our expectation in people. Because people can change and people can let you down. But God never changes, amen, and God won't let you down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tonight I want to help you a little bit and kind of a little bit different message maybe for revival, but it'll be all right. I'm just trying to do what God's telling me to do in my own heart. And there's an old song in your songbook, number 540. I don't know if y'all sing that one. Turn over there to 540. I want to read it to you. It's an old hymn, an old song. And well, I appreciate the good singing today. It's been a real blessing. And this song says number 540, it's called All Your Anxiety. It says, is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend, verse number 2, so keen to help you. No other friend, so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Verse 3, come then at once. Delay no longer. Heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. And then the chorus says, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Tonight I want to preach to you for a few moments on all your anxiety. Or I want to preach to you on anxiety. In Psalms chapter 55, the 55th Psalm. My oldest daughter, Janine, has had issues with anxiety. I didn't even know what anxiety was and, you know, all that stuff. I had to study it, you know. It's like worry and fretting over things. She told me one day, she said, Daddy, Psalms 55 describes what's called a panic attack. A panic attack. And so I'm like, okay. And so look in Psalms 55 in verse number 4. The Bible says, my heart is sore pained within me. and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Have you ever had problems with anxiety, severe anxiety, where you're just kind of nervous all the time and unable to keep food down and all that? I was getting kind of nervous. I got caught at the train track a while ago, and I sat there for about 8 minutes, and the train was slowing way down, and there's a big long line behind me, but I was on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm going to be late to the meeting tonight, you know, and I was just glad that train just kept on going, just slowly but surely. And finally, they had two, not cabooses, but two of the engines turned backwards on the tail end, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. And we got on through there, and I was getting kind of a little anxious about getting to church on time. But you have this, you know, where you can't sleep and you're just feeling your world is kind of falling in around you. And maybe God's brought you through an instant like that. And the Bible gives some answers as to how to deal with anxiety. And God just has a peace, amen, a peace for you and just provides a step-by-step solution that we can follow to live our lives free of fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And sometimes we get overwhelmed by our circumstances. Anxiety is defined by the Webster's 1828 dictionary as concern respecting some event which disturbs the mind and keeps it in a state of painful uneasiness, and just have trouble making decisions and all, and maybe things that would seem simple to some people are overwhelming to others, okay? And the Bible uses several words to describe anxiety. One of them is the word careful, and that just means being full of care over something, okay? It also uses words like troubled, doubtful, take thought, and then the word fret. You find the word fret a lot in the Bible. These are all words that would describe what we commonly call anxiety, okay? I want to give you some spiritual results of anxiety by way of introduction here. And we're not preaching a long time, but take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 12 again. Luke chapter number 12. Everybody okay? Yeah, amen. Thanks for being here tonight. I hope you'll bring somebody with you tomorrow night. And preacher's got some other preachers maybe coming and all that. And boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? Y'all being here and singing out and smiling and all that stuff, that'll be an encouragement to all those preachers that are coming. And if none of them come, we'll just thank the Lord anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 12 and look in verse number 22. And again, anxiety is directly related to a lack of faith. Anxiety. And again, just being full of care over things and just kind of, you know, maybe having a lack of faith. And Luke chapter 12, verse number 22, the Bible says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Amen. Hey, as long as God is feeding the birds and the birds are still singing, you and I don't have anything to worry about. We're God's children. Amen. He's going to take care of us. I was listening to Dr. Oliver B. Green preach on the radio years ago, and he quoted this little poem. It goes like this. Said a robin to a sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father, such as cares for you and me. Hey, the birds aren't worried about where their next meal's coming from because they know God's going to take care of them. So anxiety is directly related to a lack of faith. And the Bible says in James 1, verses 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea and is driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we need to be careful about just a lack of faith because it hinders God from working, okay? It hinders God from working. Faith, a lack of faith hinders God from answering our prayers and from working in our lives the way He wants to because we're doubting Him, and that's a sin. Now, secondly, the next thing anxiety brings is a lack of vision. Look in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 38. Just a couple pages over there. Luke 10, 38. And Luke 10, 38, and this is Mary and Martha here. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also," watch this now, "sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful.'" You're full of care, Martha. You're careful and troubled about many things. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now please listen to me. Martha was all stressed out, and you know, I know how things are, even in a church setting, you know, we can be running around, you know, or having a big day or dinner on the grounds or something like that. There's a lot going on. But Martha was careful and troubled, and her anxiety took away that vision. And Mary was sitting there enjoying sitting at the feet of Jesus. And anxiety, please listen to me, anxiety often causes just this singular focus and on the problem to the neglect of all the other gifts that God has given you, okay? And you gotta be careful about that. Anxiety over one thing can steal your joy, in a lot of other areas, okay? And that happens sometimes even in a church setting, you know? And we gotta be careful about that. We can be in the same room, and one person's getting a blessing, the other person's getting all stressed out, okay? And even hearing the same message sometimes. So we allow ourselves to be careful and troubled about many things, and we forget that one thing that's needful, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Number three, very quickly, this is the introduction, and that's anxiety is operating without faith. And we kind of mentioned that. Anxiety is operating without faith, and that's sin. The Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin," in Romans 14:23. Anxiety separates us from God, okay? I like the old song Brother Roloff them used to sing. We sing it too. I'm sure y'all do. "Living by faith in Jesus above." Amen. I love that song. Trusting, confiding in His great love. What a blessing just to trust and confide in the Lord. Amen. And a lot of times we have a lack of faith. Number four, anxiety can cause us to be envious of those who do evil. Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. So there's a lot of stuff that anxiety can kind of mess us up on. And I know we're in a revival meeting and just trying to kind of deal with things in our hearts. We talked about pride this morning and talked about the flesh versus the spirit and all of that. And in Psalms 37:1, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And if we're not careful, we can become, anxiety can cause us to become envious of those who are doing evil. Are y'all listening to me? Envious of those, you know, well, it just looks like, well, they don't go to church and they don't tithe and they don't give to missions and looks like they've got it made. No, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, talking about the workers of iniquity, they got it worse than we do. I can promise you that. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And I'm just saying this to you, the grass is greener. That's not all it's cracked up to be. So don't envy the prosperity of the wicked, okay? And we know from the Word of God that all men have troubles. Look down at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, "Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord." And by the way, that's one of the cures for anxiety is, I mean, really, the doctors tell you to rest, humanly speaking, but resting in the Lord is even better, isn't it? Sure is. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Here it is. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword," look at this now, "shall enter into their own heart and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And you go down to verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Hey, isn't it a blessing? God's going to take care of us. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. And I'm telling you, you know, it bothers me when I'm fretting and worrying over things, because I know it's not right. I mean, it's a sin. It's a sin. And anxiety can cause us to be envious of the wicked. And someone has said that, 90% of the things that we worry about never even happen. My dad used to say, worry has never paid a bill. It's never paid a bill. Then all of our worry and all of our anxiety, it doesn't change anything. And anxious people often have problems making simple decisions. They become double-minded, and they struggle, and they become insecure emotionally and just overwhelmed. Anxious people also are stressed out. And again, that stress eats up your energy, okay? Anxious people are stressful people. And the Lord said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, okay? And what a blessing it is to rest in the Lord. So anxiety causes all kinds of problems, health issues, you know, shingles. I mean, there's all kinds of heart issues and things with just anxiety, okay, and worry and fretting over things. So there's all kinds, but where do we find the answer, okay? And I'm telling you, it's not in the latest pill that's on the market, okay? The answer is found in the Word of God. I want to give you very quickly tonight a prescription, okay, to help us in the area to be able to exterminate the poison of anxiety, okay, and worry and fretting over things. Now look in Psalms 37 here. I just want to give this to you. Very simple little outline here, and again, just to be a blessing to you. Number one is found in verse number 3. And the Bible says this, trust in the Lord. Say that with me. Trust in the Lord. Say it again. Trust in the Lord, okay? You may be saying, well, Pastor Weedle, I have trust in the Lord. I do trust in the Lord. But, you know, if you're troubled by anxiety, you just have to face up to it. You know, maybe you're not trusting Him as much as you think you are. And again, I didn't think I had a heart problem, but I had a heart problem. Okay? I was in denial. I'm fine. I'm going to ace this, you know, this stress test, and I'm going to go preach that missions conference. No, it didn't shake out like that. I thought I knew, but I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Are y'all with me? And I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, we're troubled by anxiety, and it's just a lack of faith. We're not trusting in the Lord. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to increase your faith, you're going to have to increase your intake of the Word of God. Are y'all with me? Not less Bible reading and time in the Word of God, but more Bible reading, more time in the Word of God. Read good books, but live in the Bible, okay? Live in the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. And he's not just talking to babies. I'm just fearful that, you know, a lot of times we've grown in the Lord and maybe we've gone beyond the milk of the Word, but do we still desire the Word of God as much as we did when we first got saved? You know, sometimes we can get in the mode like pastors saying, hey, would you just open your heart up and let God talk to you tonight? Would you just do that? Because sometimes we come in and we've already heard everything. And you know, if you come in and your cup's already full and there ain't no room to put nothing in it, then you know, what am I doing here? You know, if it's kind of like, you know, bless me if you can, you probably can, I've heard it all, and you know, and all that, you know, that's not the spirit and attitude, man. We need to come with a hunger and a desire. God, speak to my heart. God, talk to me. Talk to me, okay, Lord, and your spirit and your word and so forth. And man, I want to have that hunger and that desire. I want the Word of God to be important in my life. I want to become so familiar with it, I've heard it all. And we need to listen as though we've never heard it before and let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God minister to our hearts so that we can grow through the Word of God. I've been saved a long time, and there's been a lot of times I'm sure I've just read my Bible and did it out of duty, but man, I want to just, Dr. Tom Malone used to say that he read his Bible until God spoke to his heart. He didn't just read it, you know, till he did so many chapters, but he kept reading until God spoke to his heart. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Listen to it, hear it. Preached, and it'll increase your faith. Now, so trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, do good. Say that with me. Do good. Do good. Say it again. Do good. Amen. It says there, trust in the Lord and do good.
And one of the problems with anxiety, one of the problems that anxiety creates is a me mentality. A me mentality, okay? And everything becomes about me, and how will this affect me, and how am I going to deal with this? And the problem with that, again, it's not about you. It's not about me. Amen? It's about others. And the Bible says in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To do good is to serve others. Man, I love the little bus kids. I love them. That is a blessing this morning, wasn't it? Seeing all those little kids here is a blessing, man. I love them. Somebody said about bus kids, they'll either get in your heart or they'll get under your skin. Amen. Well, hey, they've just kind of gotten their way. They've worked their way into my heart. Amen. I love them. I love the, going to jail and visiting the jail people and being a blessing there. Amen. They just need God. They need help. Titus 3:14 says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Man, I just want to do right. I want to do right by God and doing good for others. It's a Bible principle. It's a Bible method of getting your mind off all your problems. You start helping other people, you'll find out they got a lot more problems than you got. What a blessing just to be a servant. Wow. Got all kinds of opportunities at our church. We provide for our people to serve others. Have a group that goes to the nursing home, and they love going to the nursing home. We have a lady that used to go to our church, and she's in the nursing home now. She's Down syndrome. If I brought her up here, her name's LaDonna Collins. She's my age. She's 54 years old, and LaDonna could quote to you passages of Scripture tonight. I mean, she's a blessing. And she's Down syndrome. I mean, she'd pass out tracts on the handicap bus and stand in front of Walmart. She'd just give tracts out, and she's just a blessing, amen. And I appreciate just the opportunity to serve in the nursing home, to go there and love people and all these different ministries, people that are shut in and can't get out anymore. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to serve them. Maybe giving an anonymous gift to somebody that you know is having a hard time financially. Man, God gets the glory in all that. Help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. Trust in the Lord and do good. Number three, the third step in overcoming anxiety. I want you to look at this one now, verse number four. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Say that one with me. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Say it again. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Say it again. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Wow. Watch this. Take your Bibles and turn back to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. We're familiar with Psalms 1. Psalm 1. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says here, Psalms 1, 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 119, the 119th Psalm. That's the longest chapter in the Word of God, Psalms 119. Now watch this, Psalms 119. Look at verse number 16, Psalms 119, 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Look at verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Look at verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Look at verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Look at verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Look at verse 174. Verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Wow. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And it's just clear from the Scriptures, the first step to delighting in the Lord is to delight in His Word. Delight is Word. Man, Webster's 1828 dictionary, listen to this. has this to say about the word delight. Delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. You know, we're not here, you know, jumping pews and trying, you know. Hey, listen, I'm saying I want to delight in the law of the Lord, because when I delight in His law and I saturate my mind and heart with the Word of God, I'm telling you, it makes a difference. I was with a missionary the other day, and it didn't take me long to tell that this missionary had a touch of the Lord on his life. His name is Missionary Kevin Wynn. Kevin Wynn's a missionary to Mexico City. He's got a big ministry over there, and I preached with him out in California and kind of got to spend some time with him, and he invited me out to Mexico to preach over there in his ministries, and Lord willing, we're going to try to make that happen this year in November if we can work it out. But Kevin Wynn, just getting around him, I just thought, man, this guy's the real deal. And, you know, I'm real tender-hearted, and, you know, we're different styles of preaching. He's real strong and in your face and powerful and all that, and it's all, you know, I mean, we preach the whole counsel of God, but I'm telling you, he's got a touch of God on his life. But you know, I was listening to him and he's just preaching, and he really reads a lot of the Bible. I want to say he said he reads like 25 chapters a day. That's a lot. That's a lot of scripture to read, isn't it? Listen to it, read it, however you're doing it. It don't matter. 25 chapters a day is a lot. And I was just thinking, wow, man, that's awesome. Yeah, that kind of challenged me. He said his family led 27 people to the Lord on that Saturday. He only led one of them, and I thought, wow, man, this guy's psycho. For Jesus, amen. And then he said this, Pastor, and I thought this is unusual. He said, for every dollar given to his ministry in Mexico, a soul had been saved. I've heard of churches calculating, you know, and maybe for every $15 or $20 a soul would be saved, but he said that for every dollar that had been given, that's a lot of people being saved, isn't it? And he's in a poor part of Mexico City, and I'm sure that the fields are wide unto harvest there. He'd probably be the first to admit that, but I thank God he's getting a lot of people saved. He was out knocking on doors while we were there. This is just like last week in California, maybe week before last. And he knocked on a man's door, and a man came to the door, and the man was very distinguished, very highly educated, had a whole bunch of degrees. And the man said, sir, I followed the teachings of Voltaire for many years of my life. And he said, then I found out that how Voltaire died. And he said, I picked up my Bible, and I've been reading the Bible. He said, sir, could you show me how to be a Christian? And Kevin Wynn showed that elderly gentleman who was very highly educated how to be a Christian. That's awesome, isn't it? That kind of stuff don't happen if you're not out knocking doors. We have a man out of our church. His name's Burton Gates, and I'm sure your pastor remembers Brother Burton, but he pastors in the inner city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But Brother Burton Gates was the bartender at Applebee's in El Dorado, Arkansas. He's a big guy and all that. But some of our teenagers were out knocking on doors. And it's about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, Brother Burton, they knocked on his door, and he wound up coming to church and wound up getting saved, and now he's pastoring in the inner city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'm proud, man, he's reaching all kinds of heroin addicts and just Heinz 57 there. He's 1 mile from where they filmed the movie Rocky. He's in Kensington, and it's the highest. They have more homicides per 10,000 people than anywhere in that whole area of the country. And he's right in the middle of all that, reaching people for the Lord. And we're just saying, man, to God be the glory, great things He has done. I'm saying this tonight about loving the Word of God. Delighting in the Lord is not by accident. We choose to delight in the Lord. By the way, I want to be thankful for what all God's doing. That helps, doesn't it? Being thankful, just loving the Lord. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, do good. Number three, delight thyself also in the Lord. And the fourth step that I want to give you tonight is found in verse number five. Verse number five, Psalms 37, 5. Psalms 37, 5. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Say that with me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Say it again. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Okay? And that just means that if we're going to commit our way to the Lord, that we need to be doing everything that God has told us to do. Amen. We need to be doers of the Word. And the Bible says in Psalms 119:105, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Many times in the Christian life, anxiety is directly related to just disobeying what we already know we should be doing. If you know that you ought to be reading your Bible and you're not reading your Bible, that's a sin. Amen. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Hey, if I know I ought to be doing good and I'm not doing good, then that's sin. It's what the Word of God says, okay? And I'm just saying, wow, what a better time. My soul, wait thou only upon God. What a better time than revival time to just commit our way to the Lord afresh and anew. God, I've gotten over here in a sideshow, and Lord, it's not, you know, examine your path and make sure that you're being obedient to do what you know the Bible has commanded you to do. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Amen. Observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so we got to observe all that is written in the Word of God. And most people only obey as much of the Bible as they want to. They got areas of their life where they just kind of place off limits to God. That's not right. It could be the reason why you don't have freedom from anxiety, because you've not committed every way to the Lord. And taking every decision to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Okay? And as long as you think you're wise enough to run your own life, you're going to continue to face the anxiety of those decisions. Take your Bibles and turn over to Jeremiah very quickly. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10, verse number 23. The Bible says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And again, we're not capable. I'm not capable of running my life. I don't know whether to go out or to come in. I need God. I need God to help me, okay? And I need to filter everything through prayer. You know, pray without ceasing. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Amen. And supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And again, careful is it's another word for just being full of care or being anxious. Okay? And instead of being full of care, we need to pray and just commit our way to the Lord. So basically tonight, I'm going to give you four steps from the Word of God. And God promises that if we'll do these four steps, we can eliminate anxiety in our lives. Now look back in Psalms 37. If we'll do these four things, trust in the Lord, do good, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way into the Lord. Look at the last part of verse number 3. Look at this promise now. Last part of verse number 3 says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Wow. Verse number 4, the last part of the verse, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The last verse, part of verse number 5, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Wow. I just want God's blessing on my life, and I'm telling you, if we'll do these four things, trust in the Lord, do good, delight thyself in the Lord, and commit thy way unto the Lord, I'm just telling you, you know, He wants to bless us, okay? He promises to, you know, provision and all those if we'll just do right by God, okay? I want to give you my final illustration, and it's a good illustration. And I have four children. My last two children are redheaded. And so I don't know what that means, but the nut don't fall far from the tree, amen? And so anyway, Jake and Jenna are redheaded. Jake's a youth pastor in Malvern, and Jenna, her husband works there in Eldorado, and they're a blessing. Jenna sings specials, and she loves the Lord. And when Jenna was in high school, both of my girls enjoyed volleyball. They played volleyball at their Christian school. And Jenna was probably a junior or senior. I think she was a senior. And I used to coach volleyball, believe it or not. I used to coach volleyball back in the day. And bump, set, spike it, that's the way we like it. And so I teach the girls the fundamentals of volleyball, okay? We run a lot of movement drills at our Christian school and just put them through the basics, the fundamentals of volleyball. Anyway, Jenna was a very good volleyball player. She could knock the cover off of it, and she's just a good volleyball player. So anyway, Jenna calls me. We just got done with volleyball practice. She said, Daddy, where are you at? And I said, I'm over here at the snow shack getting me a strawberry snow cone. And they got this shaved ice stuff, you know, and they put the strawberry in. It's just good, you know, when you're all hot and sweaty and scuzzy and stinky. And
I had on warm-ups and all that, you know, and so I'm all sweated through and everything. And so Jenna says, Dad, it's going to be me and you tonight. She's the last one home while the rest of the kids were grown. She's the baby girl. And my wife had something else going on, and she wasn't going to be there. And so Jenna says, Daddy, why don't you stop by Walmart and get some of that honey glazed chicken and some chocolate chip cookies and a Big Red. And y'all are from Texas, so y'all know what a Big Red is. You want a 2-liter of Big Red. And I said, Jenna, I'm all sweaty and scuzzy and stinky. I'm not stopping by Walmart. And you know, when I go to Walmart, you know, I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knows who I am. And usually I'm out making visits and I'm styling and profiling and looking like a pastor and dressing like a preacher and all that stuff and acting like a preacher. So I don't really normally go into Walmart all sweaty and scuzzy and stinky. So I thought, no, I'm not going to go in there. I'm all sweaty, scuzzy, and stinky. So we hung up and I got to the red light, and our town's not real big, and I got to the red light by the Walmart Supercenter, and my car just started turning left. And it pulled into the Walmart, and I went in there, and I went back to the deli, and I bought some honey glazed chicken, and I got one of them little rolls of chocolate chip cookie, you know, that you slice and put on the cookie sheet. They're the cheapest. And so I bought those, and then I bought a bottle of a 2-liter Big Red. And so I cashed out, went home, got home, and I was unloading the stuff, and Jenna was sitting over there in the living room, and she said, Daddy, what you got? And I'm just kind of putting stuff up, and I get a glass down, put some ice in it, and I pour her a glass of Big Red, and put the cookies in the refrigerator, and the chicken's on the counter. And I hand her that big glass of Big Red, and I said, I've got some honey glazed chicken, and some chocolate chip cookies, and some Big Red, And I said, Jenna, why did I do that? I asked her a question. Why did I do that? And she looked at me and she said, because you like honey glazed chicken, chocolate chip cookies, and Big Red. And we started laughing because I do. I like honey glazed chicken, chocolate chip cookies, and Big Red. And she was right. And I looked at her, 17 years old, and I said, Jenna, why did I really do it? And she said, Daddy, you did it because you love me. You did it because you love me. Say, Pastor Wido, why do you do what you do for the Lord? I want to do what I do for Him because I love Him. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, He knew the worst about us, and yet He still loved us. It was His love for me that nailed Him to the tree. To die in agony for all my sin. Amen. Oh, what a Savior is mine. What a blessing, man. I'm not going to hell no more. I got one brief opportunity, a lifetime here on earth, to give to my Savior. And you know, I don't want to be over here, you know, just all flustered and fretting about things and full of anxiety and full of care when Jesus is over here saying, wow, I want to give you peace. I want you to have joy. I want you to have delight. I want you to rest in me. I'm just thinking, wow, Lord, you know, I don't want to travel second class. I want to upgrade. Amen. Revival time's a time to upgrade. Amen. I'm in. I'm going to heaven. Amen. But hey, don't you want to travel first class? Don't you want to be driving around and grinning like a possum? Smiling, boy, just because you got joy in your heart. Man, it's a blessing serving the Lord. I just think, man, half the people I preach to look like they're constipated. I mean, they do. They got this scowl on their face, you know. They don't enjoy the song service, you know. It's just, I mean, I'm thinking, what in the world wrong with everybody? Look like your mother-in-law came to live with you. I got a good mother-in-law, by the way, but I'm just thinking, wow, Lord. I want what you want for me, Lord, because you know what's best. I mean, God could have, you know, when I was having my heart issues, God could have said, you know, come up hither. He could have just took me on home and, I love the song that says, He loves me like I was His only child. I mean, I feel really close to God. I feel like God loves me. I know He loves y'all, but I just feel like He loves me the most. I know He doesn't, but I mean, I just feel close to Him. Where are you at tonight? He has a good, acceptable, and a perfect will for our lives, and I'm just thinking, wow, I want to be what He wants me to be. And that's what revival time is all about. If there's been a time when you're closer, you've ever been closer to the Lord than you are right now, we need revival. Amen. We need revival. We need God to move. Do you love Him tonight?
I mean, do you just love him with lip service, or do you love him with your heart? I want to love him with my heart. Men look on the outward appearance. Some of y'all are still kind of sizing me up, and you know, and you don't really know me, and you know, your pastor, he's not worried about nothing because he's known me for a long time, and his family, they love me because they've known me a long time. And y'all love me because he loves me. You let your guard down because he knows me. I've known Brother Chastain, Brother Larraise, I've known him since he's a little bitty squirt dauber. Yeah. Now, I'm just saying, you know, there's people here that we've known a long, long time. 20-something years and all. That's a blessing, isn't it? And I'm just saying to you, things are winding down. The Lord's fixing to come back, and we're going to stand before him. I want my heart to be clean. I want to be right in the sight of the Lord. 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Man, you can't lose our salvation, but we can lose our rewards. We can lose our testimony. We can lose our joy. There's a lot of things. We can lose the assurance of our salvation. There's a lot of things we can lose. But thank God we can't lose our salvation, because we're not the one that does the saving. The Lord is, and we're eternally secure in Him. But I just want to be right with the Lord. And to me, that's what revival time is all about, just getting up and preaching the devil out of everybody. If you've got pride in your life, if you've got anxiety and you haven't been trusting the Lord, well, it'd be a good time to come down and just say, Lord, wow, I need you. I need you to help me. I get overwhelmed. Get overwhelmed, Lord. I got an attorney friend. When I get back home, I'm giving him my notes on this message on anxiety because he's overwhelmed. He's in his 70s. He's overwhelmed. He told me not to tell nobody, so y'all don't tell nobody. He's got issues. I'm telling you, anxiety's a real, he's just full of care over things. And, you know, he's old enough to know better, but it's just overwhelming. And I hope the notes, would help him. And I hope you're getting a blessing tonight. I hope it helps you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you for listening.